right, Ty. Well, listen, we are here. We're back. And we have one of our good friends calling in. I believe this is for the fourth time that he's been here.
Four times. We got Lance Mannion on the horn today. What's up, Lance?
Grizzled veteran.
He is a veteran. He is a noted author. And he is an all-around funny guy.
Is that, did is I read my, that? Am I supposed to say something funny now?
I think so. I thought I read that on like the book jacket on one of your books.
Well, I'd like to dispel that myth right off the bat.
Yeah, Lance is going to be sitting in with us. We're gonna talk about some stuff and have some questions for you that we might not have covered in the other three times that you've been on the show. But we're happy to have you, man. It's always good to talk to you.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on.
Right up.
No problem. When was the last time you were on? Was it last fall or so?
Yeah, I mean, it might even have been before that. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, the first one we had him on, Ty, I know we were talking about this in the first segment. He was here for episode 23, and then he was the last time that he was on. It was, I remember it was around the time that the Ferguson thing was happening, because we had a heated discussion about Ferguson.
Okay, yeah.
I tried to get you guys killed.
I know, luckily Ty wasn't here. I'm the one that had to, I have to put up with that, you know, since I live here in St. Louis still. But last one was episode 62, and this is currently episode 79, actually, so it's been a while.
79.
Where did the time go? Well, that's when I was writing a book every other week, and I was doing all these podcasts and interviews, and now, just, you know, I pretty much stopped junkets. Any kind of attempt to publicize anything.
Well, before we jump into that, I mean, speaking of where the time goes, I mean, we were talking about different time zones here. Ty, you said it's about 10:35 or so where you're at, and I know Lance.
Yeah, 10:40.
Lance, you're in Eastern time, so you're about 5:40. And what's the deal with all these time changes, Ty? You said that you're springing forward today.
Yeah, we I guess you guys go 2 weeks earlier than Europe, I guess. So we're going to spring forward tonight around 2 a.m. That's when we're going to do our little spring.
They
always do it in the middle of the night so you don't miss that hour. I still haven't got my head wrapped around where that hour goes. Like, do you just reset it? Do you do it as the hour goes? I have no idea how that the physics of when the actual hour leaps forward.
Yeah, I don't know. Rocky, you know what I'm thinking about, which is Adventures of Pete and Pete, where they use it as time travel. They use that hour as time travel.
It's a pretty ingenious way to time travel. I know that Ty's always in the future, really. It's the one thing that really makes you know just how stupid the concept of time really is, like how created everything is the fact that you're in the future right now, Ty, and that you're springing forward. And then you said that you lived in Arizona and you guys didn't even do a time change.
Yeah, growing up, I mean, I'm originally from Arizona. We never did time changes. So when I first moved to St. Louis, I literally did not know what was going on. They were like, yeah, we got to change the clocks. And I was like, wait, what? Why? What are we doing?
I feel like Arizona is the most belligerent state in the country. Like, they just do things on their own. They won't move their clocks. They won't celebrate Martin Luther King Day. I don't know what's going on in Arizona, but it's a little shaky out there.
It is. We kind of like looked up and everyone was like, yeah, we're going to change our fucking clocks. And we're like, nah, we're going to pass on that one.
That's so cool, man. That's it must be all the heat out there. It's just, you know, you guys don't want to put up with anything else.
Bunch of cowboys out in Arizona.
Yeah, it is. We're just too lazy, man. It's too hot. Trying to see us over.
They only started using clocks in the 50s. Before that, they were just looking up at the sun.
Pretty much, yeah.
The sun is their god, their all-knowing god.
That's how we do it in Arizona, buddy.
So, yeah, man. Fuck the time change. I'm not a big fan of that. It's just
nah. I'm ready for the whole world to get rid of that garbage. Isn't it for farmers or something?
I forgot how edgy this show was. Fuck the time change.
We're trying to disrupt.
Fist up in the air like the Black Power motion.
Yeah. We're trying to disrupt daylight savings time, man.
Yeah, I'm not sure how edgy we are. We just complain about a lot of things. So
I don't know. I'm a little scared. My book sales may take a hit from the really hardcore lovers of Leaping Forward.
They might, buddy, but the headlines might sell some books too.
Well, maybe one.
And you know, there are lovers, I'm sure, out there somewhere of the time change. I'm sure I read a Reddit article on it somewhere about all the people that love it.
Somewhere there's somebody lobbying for more of them, like two or three every year.
Yeah.
Well, you figure in Alaska, because they're only, I mean, there's parts of the day where there's only like an hour or two of sun. Somebody in Alaska is like, fuck it, let's just leap forward 12 hours and then leap back. And then so no one knows what fucking time it is in Alaska.
It's so crazy. It's just such a crazy concept. Who's making all these rules, you know? Just, it's this time over here. It's, I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, and we kind of mentioned it too. What the hell? I never, ever in my 30 years of life, I've never figured out, like, when they say like 8-7 central, I'm like, I don't know what that time that is. I'm just going to sit here until it's actually on, is what I'm going to do.
Well, Lance, I can take
really
this one here.
You don't know?
No, but I've also been too lazy to figure it out either.
It really doesn't take that much.
It takes,
so in other words, Pacific time, you just roll right the fuck off the couch. You can't even hear that. Mountain? Yeah. What the fuck's mountain? They're just telling you when the show's on, depending where you live.
The thing that's always helped me with that, because I remember being a kid and I didn't really know anything about the different time zones, but I always look at it from left to right, you know, it's starting with 2 hours. So you got the West Coast, which is Pacific. That's 2 hours behind us. And then Mountain is the next one. That's like the Colorado area. That's one hour behind us. And then we're in Central. And then we got Oddball Lance over here in East Coast time.
Oh, no. Such. I understand, like, okay, the time zones. It's why.
I'm going to buy you a globe.
What is 8-7? What is that? Like 8 and then /7 Central. What does that mean?
Well, they're not starting it, sending the period enough for you. They should say 8, pause, 7 o'clock Central time.
But
you're looking at like 8-7, like it's a code, like you get a ring and then move it to 8-7, and it'll tell you what time the show's on. Mom, did you get that? I got to put it in the code.
So wait, the 8 would be like, this is your time when it's going to be on for you. But if you're Central, it'll be 7. Is that what that means?
Well, there is an arrogance because it assumes everybody is in the East Coast. They're like 8, and 7 Central time. As if 90% of it. So, I mean, I can see where you might get offended.
Sure. Offended, confused, all of the above.
And, you know, speaking of confused, when I was a kid, the whole concept, to go even further, I thought, because we had family in Australia, I thought we could call them and they could tell us 8 hours later who won the Super Bowl. So I'm like, shit, we'll make a fortune. We'll just call up the relatives. They'll tell us who won. We'll place the bet. And as long as nobody says anything about where we get the information, we'd be fine. It was only years later that I figured out that time is the same for everybody. It's just, you know what I mean?
No, that's awesome.
A young scheming Lance Mannion. It began.
I thought I had it figured out.
I love that you thought with, like, you're the first out of like 6 billion people on the planet to think of that. You're like, oh, I've got it.
I've always been self-absorbed like that.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're here, Lance, because I do follow your books, and not just because you're a close friend of the show, but I do enjoy your writing. So I'm always checking out whenever you release something new. And I wanted to talk with you a little bit about this new book, What You Don't Understand. I guess it's your newest release, and it's your 7th. Am I right?
Yes.
So is there really anything that kind of differentiates us from the other 6? Is there anything that you would say that's a little bit different about it, or is it just kind of more of the same type of stories?
More of the same. I would love to say I had some sort of breakthrough, but no, it's pretty much the same. I mean, they're all interchangeable. No, honestly, I was actually thinking about that in another glorious moment of being self-absorbed, and I'll tell you in a sec what made me think about it. But I was actually being self-critical in the sense that the books have become each one more opinionated and more Lance-centric than the first few books, and I've actually taken a break from writing, because when I look through the books, they're sort of, I guess, arrogant, and I'm getting sort of caught up in, you know, having readers and a blog and all the things I used to hate about other writers and such. So I'm sort of reevaluating, you know, because I this book has tons of opinions. And in my first books, I would make fun of anybody who started being, you know, a genius on every topic. And then I read my last one. I'm like, good Lord, I'm as big a dick as I always, you know, thought these other people were. Oh, but you know what? The reason I thought about it, and this may be relevant or not relevant to you guys, in the first book I wrote, it was really the whole theme of it was writing really short stories that would make people have creative thoughts themselves. It would make them think of something interesting, not the story being the interesting thing. It was more like a catalyst. And the other day I was driving, and the radio station, after a commercial, there was just this dead air for a few seconds. And then it got to be like 20 seconds and then 30 seconds. And it was awesome that the tension that was building is when would they catch on that somewhere there was supposed to be a DJ on and somebody had screwed up. And it was literally went over. It was almost 2 minutes. And it was like the greatest 2 minutes of radio I'd ever heard. And there was nothing there. It was empty, but it was fascinating. And I think that was what I'm going to try to get back to in writing, is trying to be the writing equivalent of dead air, you know, because it was an awesome 2 minutes, and there was absolutely nothing said or played on the radio, if I'm making my convoluted and weird point.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. Like that's one of my favorite things too, is when you're watching TV or something and you realize that somebody's fucked up and they're playing the wrong clip or shit's out of sync and you're just like, oh, somebody's in trouble. And you're like, let's see how long this goes before they notice.
I think the Germans have a word, isn't it, like Schadenfreude or something?
Yeah,
a nasty word.
For yeah, yeah.
But just that knowing that somewhere there's this giant, you know, cosmic cock up that's causing this delay. Or like you said, in TV, if they're showing the wrong clip, it's awesome.
Well, I mean, you're talking about getting back to that style of writing. I don't know, man. I read a blog post on your website not too long ago. I'm not sure when the date was, but it was your story Wrong Way. And it's basically the story from a perspective of a street sign. I thought that was pretty sweet, man. I've read a lot of different short stories, but I've never thought of, you know, all of the things that a street sign could see and how they would perceive people being a street sign.
Yeah, somehow when you say it, it doesn't sound as magnificent as it truly is.
It really doesn't do it much justice, but it was an interesting read nonetheless.
Everybody right now is Googling Lance Mannion street sign fascinating.
it's a cool way to look at things, though. You're able to write about things that no one else would ever realize for the most part. You know, it's kind of cool.
Well, that brings us to the real reason that I'm on today, which is to pitch my yearly National Have Sex with an Ugly Person Day, April 2nd. I say that because the only reason it's continuing to go on is because it does piss off so many people. Originally, it was supposed to be just a goof, like a one-off kind of thing. But the hypocrisy that I received the first year and people turning their nose up and being so offended by the concept, like now every year I belligerently continue to try to promote it, just because it, you know, the whole, you know, superficial nature of attraction and physical appearance in this culture, you would think that people would use it as an opportunity to either laugh or have some fun. But you can't believe every time I send out like interview requests, or if I send out, you know, updates to shitty little like online magazines and stuff, people are like, oh, please remove me, or, you know, we don't print such silly stuff. And it's like the hypocrisy of it all just drives me crazy.
Yeah, Lance, I don't think you realize that everybody is beautiful and everybody is a beautiful flower. I think that's what what's tripping you up.
Yeah, somehow it's just me too. That's what I've found out, that everybody else is so concerned about what's on the inside of people that they don't even see physical attractiveness. That was a real eye opener to me.
I can see you get a lot of hate from you know, people that say, maybe, are you fat shaming, or, even ugly shaming, I feel like that's going to be a thing that gets created soon. But I can see a lot of that hate coming your way for that type of thing.
And, you know, and I was fine with it. The whole point was to start conversations. The whole point was, okay, I'll put on the black hat. I'll put the day out and everybody can, you know, ream me and rip me. But the point that some of the people doing the attacking is just comical. These superficial fucks that their entire magazine or their entire, you know, business is based on some superficial physical appearance of either men or women. And for the, you know, it just drives me crazy that they would dare mount the pulpit, you know, and start, you know, shouting me down and saying what a stupid holiday it is, and you know what a scumbag human being, and you know, even online sites that are just completely driven by sex will then turn around and call me an internet troll and other horrible things.
It's pretty ingenious that, you know, you'd reach out to those types of places, because it's almost like you're putting an ad out because you know that all the beautiful people are going to see the ad.
Well, last year what I did was I called all these modeling agencies in New York City.
Nice.
Trying to figure out if I could get one of the models from each agency to sleep with an ugly person. And I kept getting hung up on. I know, hard to believe. So it was really frustrating. So this year, what I tried to do is I called places like the Bunny Ranch to see if ugly people could get a free fuck on April 2nd. They were just as rude and hung up on me as well. So I'm really making absolutely no headway at all with this holiday.
Oh, my God. You know, we actually have some ties to the Bunny Ranch, but I'm sure we would get the same. We would probably get the same response. I've spoken with Betty Page, who is one of the ladies of the night over there at the Bunny Ranch, but I know that they like the money, man.
They love that money, man.
I understand natural selection. I mean, and for people to sit there and just write it off, you know, and I understand that for men, a physical, attractive female is the best thing for our offspring. You know, we want to, for females, they want to, you know, they want to find a nest builder with a fat wallet. Guys are going to be very superficial because in our DNA, it's driven in that we want to find an attractive mate, because then that gives a higher chance of success for our offspring. But I think at some point evolution went just a little crazy with the amount of nerve endings in the male penis, because at this point, like, we're just fucking everything any chance we get. So I think what evolution needs to do is take it down a notch and maybe sort of start scaling back the amount of nerve endings in a penis. And again, every time I try to talk at colleges about that kind of stuff, nobody's interested.
Isn't that sort of why circumcision even kind of became a thing? Because I feel like, doesn't that make it makes your penis like less sensitive in a lot of ways?
Does it?
That's what I've heard, because there are so many nerve endings at the end of a foreskin like that they sort of cut it off, maybe to stop some of the pleasure from coming through.
No, yeah, mine feels fine.
I think it's that the foreskin covers like the head of the penis, right? So that it's way more sensitive when it's unsheathed, if you will.
You know, this is the kind of hard-hitting podcast that I want to listen to. Three men talking about foreskins.
I guess it would be a little bit disturbing to kind of tune in right now, but
it would be probably. Going back to the evolution part, like, I feel like we're transcending that need to procreate with somebody who's beautiful and who's going to, you know, carry our genes to the furthest extent of human evolution. Like, I feel like we've transcended that by now, and everything else is about to be bridged by technology. That we don't need to necessarily, you know, only sleep with the most attractive and only pick the most athletic.
You know, I think for the female, I think the clitoris actually works against them, because once they started enjoying sex, then they end up like banging the pool boy and then, you know, getting a divorce from their multi-billionaire husband. So I think evolution should not only take a few nerve endings out of the way, but it might even want to, you know, just cut ties with the clitoris altogether, sort of make it like the, you know, one of those organs that they'll look back in 100, you know, 1,000 years and say, we have no idea what this clitoris was for.
It'd be like the tail, you know, it'll just become something that's not on humans any longer.
Mm-hmm. Right, like, you know, like an appendix, like, you know, oh, I got to get an emergency, you know, clitoris removal. I don't know what this is for, but it's about to burst. Thank God Raul the pool boy noticed it when he was banging me.
I'm going to isolate that clip and play it.
Why is so swollen?
So we've talked about really all that.
Where are you going to go from this one?
I'm going to try to segue back into the actual holiday.
Dead on Raul impersonation. I want to see how you glibly move on to the next topic.
Well, I actually kind of have a segue here. So let me ask you. So we've talked about the hatred that you get for the holiday. Have you gotten any type of praise from anyone? Maybe that's gotten laid? Is that a thing that you've experienced?
No.
No.
I can't even lie.
I think third time might be the charm, guys. We're going to make it happen this year.
No. This is year four.
Oh, is it fourth year?
This is the fourth year.
Don't cheat me.
No. Nope. Sorry.
I just want, and it's funny because in a few years, I really do view it as totally overshadowing Easter. Where like the Easter bunny won't even be talked about because all the ugly kids will be, you know, they can't wait for April 2nd so they can get laid.
What are your visions then for this holiday? Like, are you thinking of maybe a tradition, almost like a sort of a Christmas tree, Easter basket type thing? Like, what are you thinking of, any ways to make this holiday an actual thing?
Well, there was always like, you know, trying to hook up with some nationwide bar where they would, you know, just invite, you know, ugly people to crawl out from under their rocks for one night to see if they can get laid. But I don't think beautiful people are going to buy in no matter what, unless, you know, there's an alcohol, you know, tie in where we get them absolutely hammered.
That's what I was thinking. Instead of Easter eggs, it's alcohol, little alcohol bottles or something.
Yeah, like with like some really strong stuff. So you wake up next to some snaggletooth person.
National Date Rape Day, it's what they could call it as well.
That's not quite the direction I was thinking. Like, I don't have enough problems with this holiday. You're going to throw date rape in there.
You're not going to try to promote that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Man. Now, can you throw in something racist? That way, you know, I'll have the trifecta.
We'll think about it. Yeah, we'll try to throw something in there. I would hate fucking being one of the ugly people to get that call. Like, hey, can you come in tonight? It's an ugly person day. We need you to just kind of creep around the bar if you could.
Yeah, but what if it's like in the future where it almost turns to where ugly people are kind of rock stars and like, I don't know.
Well, the whole idea for the day is you can be self-loathing and hate yourself for 364 days, but April 2nd is when you just go out hunting, because really the concept is the more beautiful you are, the more you want to find the ugliest person. So, you know, to make sure your karma is in line. So for that one day, people would be ugly and proud. They'd be marching around knowing that ugly ass face of theirs was going to get them laid.
Well, it's a hell of a theory. It's a hell of a theory, man. I'm totally behind you. It seems like a really good cause too. Like I wish that more people were praising you for it. Like, I wish that you would get calls saying, "Hey, you got me laid with this, and I'm a rock star today, and I'm usually a troll," and you know, but it's a great idea, man.
Well, I'm all about giving.
Giving back.
I give and I give.
So what do you do? So on April 2nd, you know, what is Lance Mannion, the head of this holiday? What do you do? Anything special?
No, actually, I do not. Like every other day, I just leave my house. You don't write 7 books because your social calendar is packed.
Well, and that kind of leads into some of the other questions I got. Like, I know that, you know, you say it jokingly and, you know, in jest basically, but you have been pretty prolific with your writings. I mean, I can't imagine. I look at your blog posts and then you still have books coming out. Like, I can't imagine writing that much. Do you ever just stop writing short stories, really?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of what's posted is from old books. I mix in new and old, and the biggest selling feature is my complete lack of quality control. I basically will, you know, publish anything and not really be concerned if it's good or not, and that has led to my wild success as a blogger and a writer.
I know there's probably a lot of authors you could say that about. Stephen King does the same. You're just like, some of his stuff is amazing, and some of it's just like, what the hell is this, buddy?
Have you read Lance's short story about
my name and Stephen King are in the same sentence?
Well, Ty, have you read Lance's short story about the kid that goes and buries his dog in the cemetery and it comes back to life? It's fucking riveting, dude.
Yeah, that guy rips me off a lot.
I heard he had to change his name to Richard Bachman because you were coming after him so hard.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I mean, and don't believe for a second that that Lord of the Rings shit that he came up with it himself, that was all me. I don't care that he was dead before I started writing. It's all me.
Have you ever thought about like writing a novel or anything like that? Have you toyed with the idea?
Honestly, I don't have the attention span for it. Like, the closest I come, I have one reoccurring character, Nap Lapkin, this super spy that appears in like half of the books in one book. And in the, I don't even remember the name of the book it's in. I think The Trembling Fist. It's a long short story. It's by far the longest thing I wrote. And I tried to emulate it. I started off the last book and I wanted to write. And literally after about four pages, I completely lost interest and then just like wrapped up the story out of nowhere and called it done. So I wish I could. And I do respect people that can write a book for a year and stay focused and interested. But I would much rather just capture random thoughts, you know, blurt them out and move on.
Yeah, definitely. And I have the same kind of attention span really whenever I'm reading. That's why I like your book so much, because I like to be able to, I don't really like to read for a long period of time. I'm not as much of a reader as Ty is. Ty can really get into books. I like to read a couple of paragraphs like your stories and then be done with it and still get something out of it.
I still love short stories, and for a lot of the reasons you guys have talked about, which is just short, easy to get into. You can get into some really cool ideas and then get right back out of them. But also what you were talking about earlier, Lance, which is a lot of short stories kind of like spark my own imagination and give me something to think about, and also make me think, oh, I could write something like this. And I don't know. I feel like short stories are, I don't know. I feel like they're closer to what most people could get into than just some long, huge, drawn out story.
Well, I think the difference is they're a starting place for someone with an imagination. Like a Dan Brown book, you know, he'll describe, like if he gets into a car, he'll describe every goddamn thing in the car, as opposed to a short story writer who will say they climbed in the car and then you write about, you know, the road or where they're going. I think that's the only big translation I would see. And what inspired me is speaking of Stephen King, he had a book of short stories called The Night Shift, and it was just awesome. I mean, some of the stories were only like 7 or 8 pages long, and I remember them to this day. Like, you know, dry cleaning equipment that basically, you know, eats antacid that has, you know, some sort of, you know, I'm trying to think what it was. It was made with this African weed that was part of this, you know, formula that if you put everything through it, it you know, brings a demon. So eventually everything passed through this dry cleaning machine. So it basically pulled itself out of the, you know, the cement and went around eating people. It was like five pages long. And to this day, I have this vivid image of this dry cleaning machine ripping itself out and terrorizing a town. He basically did none of the work other than present this really funky, fun idea. And I think when you're writing short stories, that's the luxury, is just to come up with some dumb premise and then let the reader hopefully take it and run and fill in most of the gaps.
I like how everything kind of just turns into a demon at some point.
It kind of does. That's his fallback, is it's always got to be a demon.
Well, yeah, but if it was Nicholas Sparks, it would be like this thing would crawl out of the cement and bring flowers and chocolates to people. So it's every author has their go-to.
Yeah, that's true.
And he wrote a couple of books too that weren't like, wasn't Hearts in Atlantis, wasn't that sort of a nicer, kind of prettier book?
Yeah, it was. I never read it, but the ones that I have read by Stephen King that were sort of the more dramatic and less, I don't know, supernatural, horror, gory, like those I think are where he really shines.
Lance, how many books, just realistically, how many books do you think you still have in you at this point? I mean, do you ever feel like you've written, you know, almost everything that's in your head, or do you still feel like you have a ways to go?
It's petered out to a great extent. I mean, there's only so many, you know, you write as a story as a stop sign, you write a story as a hoagie, as a mailbox, eventually you write from. So I would imagine, you know, hopefully it's, you know, that's going to trail off, and maybe I do eventually want to write a book with nothing, maybe all short stories, but with this Nap Lapkin character, because it's the only guy I've ever come back to and been interested in. The problem, honestly, is like, and he predates Archer, that, you know, that cartoon that's on TV. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Archer is freaking hysterical and has a lot of the mannerisms that I'd always pictured of a Nap Lapkin. So at a certain point now, I feel like that he's going to invade all the stories, and I'll be writing it from that perspective. It's like, it's almost a shame. I should have become famous and stolen the super spy, you know, before he became a known entity.
Yeah. I love that name too. Nap Lapkin. That's a great name.
You know, honestly, that was one of the first, when I decided to publish my first book, I had to come up with a dumb name. And Lance Mannion, I don't know if you know this, that was one of the fake names that Sam Malone on the TV show Cheers always used. And I always thought it was the greatest, like, manly name I'd ever heard.
That's awesome, but
I was also thinking of Nap Lapkin, because I had written stories about him for years before I became, you know, a real blogger. So it was like a total toss up that I was going to be Nap Lapkin writing about this super spy called Lance Mannion.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there's a nugget nobody's ever known. So you rug out this gem.
That is a CSP nice. Exclusive, Ty.
Exclusive, guys. You heard it here first. Here first and then on HuffPo tomorrow.
I love the idea that Nap Lapkin is sort of an alter ego in a sense of Lance Mannion. That's perfect.
Yeah, he's everything that I wish, you know, the American male could be. He's, you know, he's self-absorbed, he's callous, but, you know, physically he's, you know, strong and you know, women find him, you know, irresistible. Sort of the prototypical American man.
The type of person that you would look for to bang ugly chicks on April 2nd.
Yeah, I think he actually would. I think he would get hammered and take one for the team. I like to think he would.
Just running through my list of kind of dumb interviewee type questions, but some of them, you know, I really do want to know the answers to. Like, are there any type of short stories that you've written and you kind of felt like, well, maybe I shouldn't use this perspective, or just for one reason or another you decided not to go with it because it was maybe too personal?
Too personal. I mean, honestly, I'm a pretty dull guy. So I, you know, any personal stories, there's nothing really shocking out there. I have backed off on certain things. Like, I think there was, you know, a time when I was really, you know, I enjoyed the shock value of things, whether it be religion, race, you know, any hot topic, I would purposely set out to offend people. I've sort of tailed that down because it's a little cliche at this point. It's just about using boring experiences to and twisting them into something interesting. I mean, here's something nobody knows. You guys want another exclusive?
Yeah, definitely.
Ooh, yeah.
Don't tease me with these exclusives now. You better pay up.
Okay. No, this is a confessional here. Lance Mannion spent time in prison.
Whoa.
I'm going to let that sink in.
Now, wait a second. Are you talking about Lance Mannion as your alter ego here, or are you talking about you personally?
Me personally, although I did not use the term Lance Mannion.
Now, we're talking about prison. That's the big house, man. That's the big one. That's not just like going to jail. I wonder why Lance Mannion would have wound up in prison.
Well, here's the reason I don't talk about it, and here's the reason that I'm always having deep-seated anger towards midgets. They are connected.
Oh, shit.
And again, I don't want to make light of this because it's actually a very, you know, troubling story. But this was, 2001. I had a home invasion. And there was a tussle and there was, was I actually unfortunately took the life of the intruder.
What? Is this real?
And the problem was, and the reason I couldn't tell anybody and especially couldn't say it, he was a dwarf. So in prison, you really don't want to have that kind of reputation. So, you know, I let the vagaries of life there. But yeah, the laws that I was living in Illinois at the time were weren't quite as comfortable as Florida. So I did time at Joliet Correctional Facility for manslaughter.
And well, this definitely does sound like it's a terrible story, really. Now this isn't any type of like one of your blog entries or anything. So I kind of feel like we might be being trolled a little bit here. This is accurate.
No. It all came back to my roundabout way of, you notice a ton of times in my stories, I'm always talking about harmonicas and harmonica playing, and that comes directly from my experience at Joliet. The prison, it's in Joliet, Illinois. It sits between a more like rural or suburban area, but it's also right on the Des Plaines River. And right next to the river is the set of train tracks. There's like seven or eight of them that meet in this area. So just like the Johnny Cash songs, you would sit in your cell and you would constantly hear trains going by at night, you know, with their little mournful whistles and stuff. And that's when I started to play harmonica.
Well, I didn't even really know that you were a skilled harmonica player, but...
No, actually, I'm not skilled at all. In
you
fact,
just play.
Well, no, because I never learned to play songs. I would just imitate the trains passing. So when I got out and I would play with my friends, they would hate it because in the middle of the song, I would just suddenly start playing as if I was the passing train. But I was an ex-con, so they were all scared to say anything. So right in the middle of their song, I would just let loose with this long, mournful whistle blast.
Oh, my God.
That's great. Dude, have you ever written about this, about your experience?
No, because I mean, I've referenced it. I've written a couple prison references. I've written a bunch of harmonica references. They actually filmed the Blues Brothers in the prison that I was in. So every time I see that movie, I end up writing a couple things about either the blues or prison, just because it takes me back. Now they actually closed it as when I was there. I was one of the last people there. They actually moved me to another prison at the end of, or the middle of 2002. I was one of the last people to be in Joliet Correctional Facility.
Wow, dude, that's insane. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, outside of just writing about your experiences, you ought to write about like being probably one of the only people to ever have your home invaded by a little person.
Yeah, and everybody thinks I'm kidding, and everybody laughs as if a midget doesn't go to a life of crime. And said, just because I was bigger and I threw him over the railing is no reason that people should make fun of the situation. Like, it's really an emotional topic because it seems like midgets just skate past. Everybody's like, oh, they're adorable. No, this was a really threatening midget. He had a scar. He had a knife. I mean, this was an intense encounter. I happened to win it, and I get ridiculed because I killed a midget.
Oh, my God.
There's something about the idea, the word midget, little people, dwarfs. Like, I think we're so conditioned to straight to comedy. Whenever you even hear the word, you're like, oh, here comes the good stuff. Like, I'm ready to laugh.
Well, like you look at Lord of the Rings, dwarves kick ass. And it's dark. I don't know what I'm facing. And I get, you know, this Lord of the Rings dwarf guy coming at me. It was nothing funny. This wasn't, you know, some friendly, you know, lollipop guild guy. This was life and death shit.
Yeah, that must have been crazy.
So he was one of the more proportioned type of little people where he was kind of fast and agile, or did he have that little waddle like coming at you?
Well, I mean, I'd like to make him out to be a bruiser, but he was waddling pretty hard.
Okay.
And his head, when he landed, he took out my fucking dining room table with his head. He had a giant head. I had to throw the table out.
And then you threw the table out, and then they took you to prison.
Yeah, it wasn't my proudest moment.
No. Well, I can definitely understand how that would be sort of a deep story for you to want to bring up. I'm really happy that you did, man.
Well, I like to share. I'm a giver.
That's terribly sad.
And if I can sit there and I can have one listener, I don't even know what I want. I'm trying to think of one listener. They get attacked by a dwarf in a home invasion. I don't know where I'm going with this.
I think if I could be the one to let you know, at least the message that I'm getting from this is that don't look at little people like they can't hurt you, because
can. Thank you. That's scared. What I meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. Don't think twice. Just toss them.
If you wake up in the middle of the night and you see a dwarf hovering over you, don't just like sigh and laugh to yourself and say, oh, whew, it's only a midget. Because that midget will kill you right in your sleep. And that's what I want to tell your listeners.
And the reason that you blew him away, that's probably the only reason that you're here talking with us today. I mean, sure, you did your time, but, you know, you survived it.
And the amount of time, it's not even like I killed a whole person. And that's what I told the judge. I'm like, this is a fucking outrage. That person is half the size of a normal person, and I'm getting the full manslaughter time? That is bullshit. Sorry, it's still sensitive.
I can imagine, dude. How long did you get for this, if you don't mind going into detail with it?
36 months.
Damn, that is pretty harsh.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I could have killed a full-size person for 36 months.
you wasted your opportunity there. You really wasted like your whole time in jail. You know, you could have used it.
Well, and I don't even know what a dwarf would want with what I had. I'm a tall guy. He obviously wasn't after my clothes. It's just bad luck. If I could have had a normal-sized person, I'm sure I would have gotten off. The problem was, in all the pictures, he looks so, you know, dwarf and happy, and even laying on my shattered table with his giant head. The jury had no sympathy at all. If he was a giant, muscular man, I wouldn't have spent a year in prison. But because it was, you know, something that he looked like, you know, he fell out of Oz, suddenly I'm a bad guy for defending myself.
Yeah, once again, man, it's that lifelong conditioning of little people being like it's the comedy, the comic relief.
If I can just have one listener. Nope, I got nothing again.
Still nothing. Well.
If I can save only one of you, nope, it's gone again.
Well, I mean, at least look at it this way, Lance. You did what you did, but I mean, you served your time. You know, you did what you needed to do, and now you come out of it with some stories and a fascination for harmonicas. No one can ever take that away from you.
Yeah.
So
nice.
Well, Ty, I mean, that was, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that, man. That's crazy. It's a crazy story, dude. I can't believe you ever written about that.
I don't know.
That would have been in my first.
You're trying to make fun of me, aren't you?
No, not at all. I'm just processing. As soon
as you're going to say, okay, we're going to say goodbye to Lance Mannion, click, and then the next hour, you're going to be ripping on me for killing a midget, aren't you?
No, negative. Negative.
I don't think so, Lance, because at first, whenever you were telling me that, I was trying to, you know, understand whether or not you were going on a story or if this really happened. And I got to tell you, if it really happened, I would understand where you're coming from, and I would be sympathetic towards the whole situation of you know, defending your house and your family. And if you just made this up just now, I would still respect the fact that you were able to make up this story. And the outcome of it was that, you know, you had to kill a little person. I think that that's a pretty good story to just come up with, even if it's fake. So no way I'd make fun of you.
Nah.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, if I can just have one of... Nope, gone again.
Well, if you come up with anything, maybe you could put it up on your blog and people can check that out at lancemanion.com.
Well, this isn't going to air for a while. Unfortunately, you guys missed Ugly Week. Starting today, the day of this interview, I have a week of blogs, all of them from my past National Have Sex with an Ugly Person Day exploits. So if your listeners want to go back to, I don't know what the date is today, but the week before April 2nd, all of the blogs are going to have something to do with ugly or National Have Sex with an Ugly Person Day. So literally, nice. I will get so many people yelling at me what a terrible person I am because I dare point out the ugliness of the world.
Oh, I don't see how people could look at it that way. You're trying to help people out, you know. But
doing the Lord's complaints, that's what you're doing.
I feel like I'm the Mother Teresa of the bloggers. I give and I give, and you know, I'm never appreciated.
Yeah, for your new book, I really like the cover art on that.
Yeah, I do a lot too. I mean, it even looks a little bit like me, which is nice. But the woman who did it did an awesome job. I was Christine Cox really summed up what I was trying to get across with that book cover.
Now, does she do all of your covers, or I mean, is
no? That was the first one she'd done, but I'm redoing my first two books because the publisher no longer puts out those two books for me, so I have to self-publish them. So I'm redoing, and she redid the first cover, and she's redoing the second cover, and that should be out probably in the next month or two.
And for anybody that's listening, it looks like almost all of these books are available for free ebook download through lancemanion.com, and then you can also buy paperbacks of any of them that you want. And I mean, your paperbacks are pretty much on, you know, they're like on every website, like even Barnes and Noble, right? I know you can go through Amazon.
Yeah, yeah, they have no idea the what's in those books. If they did, they would pull them quickly.
So get them while you can, if you want to, on Barnes and Noble. But you can also just go to his website and check them out through there. And we'll be sure to tweet out any of the information, like live, basically, what's going on with Ugly Week, because we want everybody to get in on that celebration.
Yeah, especially your ugly listeners. And I know some of you are probably looking in the mirror and, you know, and feeling bad about yourself. But, you know, this is your time to shine. Go out there, see if you can get a little. And if you're an attractive person, please give it up. One fucking night, would it kill you to bang somebody who's ugly?
Just, I mean, don't give me mildly
attractive. Don't give me that friend of yours. Go out and find a real fucking uggo and throw a little their way. It wouldn't kill you. The karma of this would be so good. You would wake up, and after you disinfect yourself, you would feel marvelous, especially if you're a model. I mean, I don't know if you have any model listeners, but good Lord, every weekend you're out banging other models. Just one time, throw on a blindfold and let some ugly guy plow you.
Yeah, we have a lot of model listeners, actually, so this is the right place to be sending this message. I think it's about 95% models, really, that listen to this.
Do you guys ever get where somebody misrepresents you or talks about you completely out of their ass? A couple years ago, there was this video, a YouTube video, this show called Pop Trigger or Pop Tart or something like that, and it was a bunch of panelists talking about National Have Sex with an Ugly Day, and they were, of course, ripping me to shreds. And then one of the guys goes, and the worst part about it is he's a model.
Dude.
And everybody else goes, are you kidding? And he goes, yeah. He goes, I know for a fact he's a model. And I'm laughing, what? Going, what the fuck? Where would you even get that? I'm a nobody. It's not like there was some website misrepresenting me. I'm a nobody. And for him just to spew that I'm a model, I mean, I was flattered, but it was ridiculous.
I actually watched that video. I know the video that you're talking about. And yeah, it was, I mean, I can't speak because I've never seen you before, but just the idea that this guy's throwing out, and he's a model too, so fuck him, you know, coming up with all of this. They were ripping you apart, man. I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, I love it. I mean, and that's the point, because sometimes the best thing to do for morons is let them talk. You know, the fact that I wasn't there to defend myself was awesome, because the more they talked, the dumber they looked. It was like an all-star team of stupid.
Ty, if you Google National Have Sex with an Ugly Person Day, that's going to be like the second link that you get to.
Yeah, I saw a video. I hadn't clicked on it yet, so I bet that's the one I was looking at.
That's got
to
be it.
I'm going to have to watch that.
Yeah, there's not a lot of videos, let's be honest. The Today Show wasn't bandying about that idea.
it's just funny that if someone were to Google this, that's really the only information they could get, as people kind of blasting you. There's no, you know, there's no nice videos unless they come across this podcast. This one, I think we do a pretty good job of praising your works. We believe in you.
You know, honestly, I love when people write bad reviews, though. Like, for I think it was like 2 months, it was the University of Arizona or Arizona State, this girl out there basically said my last book was like the worst thing she'd ever read in her life. I mean, it was the greatest review. I mean, I read it like 100 times because unfortunately for me, she was really eloquent and really funny. I mean, her review was much funnier than any of the stories in my book. So I had it on my website for like 2 months as the featured attraction because it was, I mean, she just could not have hated me more. If I'd have been in the room, she'd have probably kicked me right in the balls. Because usually I get bad reviews, but they'll say, you know, when some of them are touching or he shows his, you know, human side every now and then. But she hated every word from beginning to end. It was just this tirade of that I should be put down. It was glorious. Awesome.
Did you ever get in touch with her? Let her know she was featured?
I wanted her to write the foreword for my next book, but she never replied. I sent 2 emails, one thanking her and saying it was awesome. And then like a month later, it was for the song Between Her Legs, was just and that title offended her deeply. I asked her to write the foreword for the last book and she never replied. I'm like, I won't edit a word. This isn't me sucking up to you and making you try to say something nice. I'm like, just duplicate your rage and hatred and I will print it. I swear I won't change a word. And she never replied.
That's great. That would have been awesome.
It was magical.
That's too bad that she didn't respond. You know, if she's taking time out of her day to review one of your books and do it so with so much anger, I can't imagine how much that pissed her off. Whatever, you're like, oh, can you write a foreword to my book?
And it's funny because there must have been that one story that put her over the top, like some, you know, nasty reference or, you know, because if you read my books, I'm pretty much an idiot. Like I talk out of my ass. I make up stories. I make up scientific facts. I try to offend every race, creed and color on the planet. And you know, somewhere like lurking in the book, there was that one that instead of not reviewing it and not giving it the time of day, that she swept up her laptop and just started ripping me. And I just wish I knew what it was so I could bottle it.
She said, that's it.
Maybe it was an ugly person. Maybe she's, not a very attractive woman. And that just sent her fucking spinning off and into hating Lance Mannion world.
Well, we know it couldn't have been her love for little people because you broke that story on the show.
That's maybe she'll reconsider now. Maybe this, because it's a sensitive story. I'm sure some of your readers were like all misty-eyed listening to me, you know, telling this hard story. I bet Lifetime Channel contacts me after this.
Well, I sure hope so, dude. I would love to see that turn into a Lifetime
Little Man movie. Big Cell.
Ooh, the Lance nice. Mannion story.
Nice.
Oh my god. I would love it. Dude, if that happened, that would probably be the greatest accomplishment. Really, I mean that you wouldn't ever have to write anything again. That you could just live off of those laurels for the rest of your time.
Well, you know, you guys have a very influential show, so I'm sure, you know, this could be the first domino that falls. And next thing you know, Hollywood is sniffing around at the Lance Mannion story. And you guys broke it. I've never told anybody that.
Could be. Yeah, man. I'm actually envisioning like a serial type of podcast, maybe, or a Netflix miniseries based on your case.
Yeah.
You can only hope that Ty and I really know what to do with the story of this magnitude that breaks on our show. You can only hope that we can handle it properly.
I put it in your hands. Now what you guys do with it, that's, you know, it's out of my hands now. I trusted you.
All right. Well, Ty, let's just put it on our stupid website and see what happens with it.
Wow, you guys are going all out.
We're giving it the red carpet treatment here, Lance.
I could literally write 100 titles for that movie right now. Like, it's all I can think of. I haven't been able to think clearly since I thought of the Lifetime, Little Man, Big Cell. I mean, there's 100 different titles that are leaping into my head right now.
I don't know, man. I want you to, if you can do a blog post about all of these different types, I don't know if you're going to even want to talk about this after this, or if this is going to be like the one time you bring it up and then it's back under the rug, but I'd like
to. I'm definitely never. This is painful for me. I don't, you know, imagine. It's like the tears of a clown. I'm trying to be brave through this, but this will probably be the last I ever speak of it until Lifetime talks to me. I mean, I can't even watch movies with midgets in it because I have flashbacks. It's like a combination of like Wizard of Oz and Shawshank Redemption. Are you fucking laughing?
No, I was coughing.
Yeah, thank you. This is some sincere Lance Mannion stuff here, and you're chortling away in the background. I'm sorry you mentioned it.
This is real shit going on, guys. Come on.
This is real world struggle here.
I'm gonna get off this, and I'm just gonna go play my harmonica the rest of the night.
By play, you mean just like one mournful, long
train sound.
And all my friends who play guitar will run for the hills in case I want to join.
Well, Lance, we've been talking for about an hour at this point, and I know that that you have a dinner coming up here, so we're going to leave you with that. And thank you so much for breaking that story and for spilling your heart with us. Really, it's always a pleasure talking with you.
Well, it's about the audience. You know, I felt I owed it to your audience to be candid.
Thanks, man. I think we really deepened our connection with this being your fourth time on the show and all.
Yeah, imagine
a staple.
Where do I go from here?
Mm-mm.
I'm going to have to murder somebody else. I mean, self-defense.
Oh, sure. Definitely. Self-defense. Don't feel like you have to top this just because we're shocked by the story, Lance. You don't have to do anything crazy. Just, you know,
I'm going to be at dinner tonight and like laughing and talking to everybody. And then in my head, there'll be this dwarf that slams down on the table. And then like I'll drop all my shit and everybody will look at me and then I'll look and the table will be fine. And I'll blame you guys.
You need to just calm down and write a nice story about a street sign just to kind of ease your nerves a little bit here.
Yeah. That's what my therapist says.
All right. Well, thanks so much.
He was also a little person, but that's another story.
Oh, shit.
I mean, I don't know if that's
Uh-oh.
Actually, I should ask him that if maybe that's why I picked a therapist that's a little person.
That might be it.
I mean, you
that
saw it out.
I'm sorry. I know that's another show to talk about.
Yeah, because I want to get deeper on this, man. We're gonna Ty, remind me to bring this up next time we talk to Lance, because that's a whole other conversation there. Check out Lance's stuff on LanceManion.com, and if you haven't checked out any of his books yet, do it. I strongly recommend it. I mean, most of them are free ebook downloads. You have nothing to lose, but he's a great guy, and I'm really happy that we were able to talk to you today, Lance.
Well, thank you guys. As always, it's fun. Anytime you want me on, just let me know.
Yeah, for sure, man. It's been awesome.
All right. And Ty, we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back after these words on CSP.
Don't you want to have a good shape? He wants it. Fab can help you stay in his mind. It's sugar-free, and it tastes better than any Diet Cola. Because the Coca-Cola Company wouldn't have it any other way. Enjoy Tab, and be a mind sticker.
Okay, Ty, well, it's that time of the show. Just wrap this baby up. That was really cool talking to Lance.
Yeah, it was, man. Good to hear his voice again. That story was fucking crazy.
I'm still a little shaken by that.
Yeah. That's shit, though. That one's just love getting Kenny Killer on here to tell his crazy ass stories.
Is there any way that that could be true, though? I'm wondering. I mean, I guess in a way it kind of adds to the mystique of Lance Mannion, the fact that we're sitting here wondering.
Yeah. I think it's too crazy. It's outlandish to not true.
It is. It's outlandish. Man, we should have. That was the word I was looking for. Fucking outlandish.
Well, it's made me see little people in a whole new light, though. I know that.
It's funny too because I've never even thought about like looking. Not because I wouldn't be threatened by a little person. You know, I've seen little people that could kick my ass for sure. I've just never pictured having a physical confrontation with one. But it does kind of.
No.
It does kind of put them on that type of. I could look at that level now, where you know a little person could definitely be a threat.
Yeah. For sure.
Well, I don't know. A lot to ponder, man. I guess, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know where to go with this. Let's just wrap it up, I guess. Check out that. He really threw me for a loop with that story. Holy shit. Killing a little.
Yeah.
Ty, did you hear the part where his giant head went through the coffee table?
He threw him over a balcony. I'm guessing this must have been inside of his house balcony.
Yeah, Lance definitely has a balcony in his house. I'm sure he's
yeah, that for type sure.
of person. So.
For sure. Yeah, wow. That's a story. Why hasn't he written that story?
I mean, he says it's too hard to bring up. I don't know. Dude, if that was me, that would have been in my first book. That would have been like in the about the author section at the beginning of the book.
Yeah, I would have written that into fame. I would have written that. I'd still be writing that. I would have written one short story about it, and I'd still be writing it.
Yeah, I would be that the little person story guy. Like, that would be me. That would be what people knew mm-hmm. me as. So, well, check out any Lance stories at lancemanion.com. And
yeah.
have a happy have sex with an ugly person day.
Yeah, if you're a beautiful person, if you're one of the models that listens to the show, go out there, find an ugly person on the second and just give him a good banging, or even a bad banging, any kind of banging.
Any kind, really. I don't think he specifies.
No, he doesn't.
So, yeah, any kind would be great. It's for a good cause.
It is, and if you're an ugly dude or a lady, just go out there. Make yourself seen, because you never know, one of our models.
Never know.
The same club that you're in.
So, yeah, man, it's been a good episode here. I know that you're fucking looking at a time change pretty soon.
I am. It's midnight. Pretty much 1 o'clock. We'll just say it's 1 o'clock, really. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap this baby up, and we'll talk to y'all next time on CSP.
You have just listened to Complete Sentences with Ty and Rocky K. Please feel free to email us at completesentencespod@gmail.com.